This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called, Why Can I Trust the Bible?
2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says this. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. I'm going to explain that in another week. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're going to look at this verse again next week, but I want you to look at the phrase, all scripture is God-breathed. Circle that word, God-breathed. That word in Greek is theopneustos. Theo meaning God, pneustos meaning breathed. The Bible is God-breathed. Now, what does that mean? Some of the translations translated the scripture is inspired, but we're not talking about an inspiring writer writing an inspiring book. We're talking about God inspired this book. It is God-breathed, theopneustos. Right now, you are listening to the breath of Rick Warren. You're listening to my breath, because what my voice is breath coming up over my vocal cords, vibrating those vocal cords and coming out a sound. If I didn't have any breath, I wouldn't have any voice. So the breath of Rick Warren is the word of Rick Warren. It is the voice of Rick Warren. And the Bible says that God's word is God's very breath. It's not just a good idea. It is God's word to us. And as a result of that, Psalm 119 tells us this. All of your commands can be trusted. Everything in the Bible can be trusted as true because it comes from God. Now, it's one thing for the Bible to claim that it's the Word of God. It's one thing for the Bible to say it can be trusted, but how do I know, really? I mean, really, how do I know this is the Word of God? It's not just some bunch of fables or a bunch of stories that were put together. It's a valid, legitimate, important question that we need to ask before we ever start studying the Bible. How do I know I can trust it? Time magazine thought this was such an important question, it put it on its cover twice. Look at this one. Here was a cover of Time magazine a while back that said, how true is the Bible? It's a good question. And here's another cover of Time magazine. Is the Bible fact or fiction? This morning, we're going to settle this issue because there are incredible proofs, evidences, and facts that you need to know to help you make up your mind. So you're not making up your mind based on what you've heard other people say, but what the Bible actually claims for itself and what history, science, and all these other things teach us about the Bible. We're going to look today, to start off 40 Days in the Word, on inspiration. How do I know I can trust the Bible? Well, there are seven reasons. Pastor Tom's going to help me with these this weekend, but I want you to write down the first one. It is historically accurate. The Bible is historically accurate. And for that reason, I know I can trust the Bible. In other words, the Bible isn't just doctrinally correct. It's not just theologically correct. It's not just accurate regarding morals and regarding ethics. It's true history. Real people, real places, real time. It is true historically. Now, why is that even important? Because the Bible tells us this. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. A lot of people ask me all the time, is there anything God can't do? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things God can't do. God cannot deny himself. God cannot not be God. God cannot lie because God is truth. In fact, the Bible says this on the screen, Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie because God is truth. The only reason the universe works is because God is a God of truth, which means stuff is true all the time. Can you imagine, for instance, if the law of gravity only worked on Tuesday and Thursday? It'd be a pretty weird thing. But the laws of physics are true. God thought them up. He created them. The laws of mathematics are true. God created the laws of mathematics on which the universe runs. And so God cannot lie. If this book has one lie in it, it's not a godly book. It's not a book of God because God cannot lie. Psalm 33 verse 4 says this, "The word of the Lord is right and it is true." Now that's not only true and right about salvation, it's true and right about history. I want you to give a warm welcome to Pastor Thomas. He talks to us about this.
So how do we know that the Bible's historically accurate? Well, by the same way you know any other history is accurate. You just go by the tests of good history. For instance, one of the ways that you test good history is it from eyewitness accounts? An historian would go in and say, is this written down by somebody who saw it, or is it secondhand or thirdhand, or is it a legend written down 100 years later? The Bible is primarily eyewitness accounts. That's why it's good history. Moses was there when the Red Sea split. Joshua was there when the walls of Jericho fell. The disciples of Jesus stood in the upper room, sat in the upper room, and saw the resurrected Jesus appear. And then they wrote down what happened, and we read about it. Matthew was there, and he wrote it down. John was there, and he wrote it down. Peter was there. He told a guy by the name of Mark. He wrote it down in the Gospel of Mark. And Luke talked to all of them, including Jesus' mother, and heard about what had happened. So it's eyewitness accounts of what had happened. Now, the other test of history by which we know the Bible is accurate is the extreme care with which the Bible is copied. You may have heard people say, you know, I'm sure it was right when it was first written, but it's been passed down generation after generation. All these changes have come in. You ever heard that? If you hear that, you know, someone hasn't just hasn't taken the time to study it, to look into it. Because when you look into it, you find out the extreme care with which the Bible is copied. The Old Testament copyists, the scribes, when they would copy these scrolls from one to the other, they would copy it like we would copy a Xerox copy. It had to be exact. And they had this long list of rules they had to go by to make sure that it was exact. Rules like when they had a scroll, it had a specified number of columns throughout it, so it would always be the same. And the length of those columns always had to be from 48 to 60 in length, and it always had to be 30 letters wide, so they could always check it out. To make sure that it was always right, they had this rule that you had to copy letter by letter and not word by word. So that, well, you know, on your phone, like it does text prediction and sends the wrong word to somebody, the word you didn't want to send. They wanted to make sure that didn't happen, so they could only copy letter by letter. And they went by these tests to make sure that it was right after they copied it. They knew in a book how many letters of the alphabet were in each book. So, for instance, like our letter A, they would know that there were 1,653 A's in this book. And if it had 1,654, when they counted it, they threw the scroll away and they started over. They were so exact. They knew the middle letter of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. They knew the middle letter of the whole Old Testament. And after they copied all of this, they would go to that middle letter and count forward and backward. And if it didn't come out exactly the number it should, they'd throw it away and they'd start over. That's how exact they were. There's a lot of reasons ways that we can see that they're exact, but one of the ways we can see is through something called the Dead Sea Scrolls. We've all heard of those. What's so significant about the Dead Sea Scrolls? Well, the Dead Sea Scrolls were written about 100 years before Jesus, and they have in them copies of all of the Old Testament books, except Esther, all the other Old Testament books. When we found those scrolls, the earliest copies we had before that were from 900 years after Jesus, of many of those books. So there's this 1,000-year gap. All of a sudden, we get to check out how much change came in those 1,000 years. You want to know how much? About 5%, and that was almost all in just in the spelling of words, the spelling of names. Over 1,000 years, those copyists were proved to be right as they copied again and again and again and made it right. It's another proof of the historical accuracy of the Bible. Another proof is in archaeology. You look in archaeology, and it proves again and again that the places and the people and all that the Bible talks about are true. It's not fiction. You can go and find these places. We've dug up these places. The Areopagus where Paul was, the theater in Athens where there was this riot, we've dug them up. We can see them today. The Pool of Siloam where the blind man was healed, portions of Herod's temple, all these places that are talked about in the Bible, they've dug them up. We can see them. The book of Acts is all about historical accuracy. Luke, an historian as well as a doctor, as he wrote the book of Acts, he talks about 54 cities, 39 countries, and 9 different islands, complete historical accuracy. One of the great things about how archaeology works with the Bible is how it's again and again shown that actually the Bible is more accurate than our ideas of history. There's been many times when we've had an idea of what's historical and said, well, the Bible must be wrong, and the Bible's proved itself to be right. For instance, for a long time, historians said, well, we're not sure that guy named Solomon lived in the Old Testament, and we're certainly sure they didn't have horses like it talks about. They only had camels back then, so that can't be right. Until at Megiddo, they discovered one of Solomon's chariot cities with thousands of stalls for, guess what, horses. So the Bible was proved right. One of the greatest, probably the greatest example of that is an empire called the Hittites. There's this whole empire called the Hittites talked about in the Bible that was not talked about anywhere else. So for centuries, historians said the Bible just made it up. Until in the early 1900s, a professor by the name of Hugo Winkler discovered at Bogoskoy 10,000 clay tablets at the capital of, guess what, the Hittites. Now everyone believes in the Hittites. In fact, during a break in the game today, you can go on Wikipedia and you can read about the Hittites.
Not only is the Bible historically accurate, every time archaeology backs it up, but it is scientifically accurate. That's the second reason. The Bible is scientifically accurate. Now, there is so much misunderstanding and baloney about this in the world. I want to spend a majority of time on this point. Because people who think the Bible is scientifically inaccurate mean, A, they've never studied the Bible, and B, they probably don't know science. Because the truth is, God always sets up the laws of science, and he made sure that his word does not contradict the laws of science. Now, the Bible was not given to be a scientific textbook, obviously. You don't study the Bible to build a rocket. And the Bible doesn't use scientific language. But the Bible never, never, never gives bad science. Quack science. Not once in over 1,600 years in which this book was written does it give bad science. In fact, it is always ahead of science. There are things in the Bible says were true, that we just discovered 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. Johannes Kepler, the famous mathematician, the famous astronomer, you know Kepler, said, science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him. In other words, God established the laws of physics, and then we discover them. God established the laws of biology, and we discover them. God established the laws of mathematics, and we discover them. One of the reasons why we know the Bible can be trusted is because it's scientifically accurate, and the reason it's accurate is because the laws of the universe were invented by God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Is it enough to just love the Word and to learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God, and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
One of the reasons why we know the Bible can be trusted is because it's scientifically accurate. And the reason it's accurate is because the laws of the universe were invented by God. So he obviously understands them even in years past when we didn't. Because for thousands of years we've misunderstood different things. You see, the one thing about truth is it never changes. But the one thing about science is it constantly changes. There's nothing more worthless than an obsolete science book. I guarantee you that the science book you had in the third grade is not being used in the third grade today. And a lot of things in that book are no longer believed or even taught. Nothing is more worthless than a five-year-old computer book. You can find them on any garage sale and nobody wants them. Because things get out of date so fast. They get out of date so fast. Science, things that we thought we believed, we now know more about it. And we go, oh, in fact, in medical science, it happens all the time. I had to go to a doctor this week, and he was talking to me about a particular condition, and I said, oh, well, then I assume we're going to do this, this, and this. And he goes, oh, no, we don't believe that anymore. I said, you got to be kidding me. Everybody knew that. No, no, we don't believe that anymore. And we don't use that medicine anymore. How many articles have you read that now say that something you thought was good for you now causes you cancer? Or stuff that they said it's fine for a pregnant woman to take, and then 10 years later go, it's not fine. Science constantly changes. Do you know, if you've ever been to Paris, you've probably gone to the Louvre, the famous art museum and library, world-class library. Do you know that in the Louvre library, there's one section that has 3.5 miles of obsolete science books? 3.5 miles. Because stuff they thought was scientifically fact 1,500 years ago was disproven 1,000 years ago, and what we thought 1,000 years ago was disproven 750 years ago, and what we thought 25 years ago was proven 10 years ago, and what we thought 10 years ago is now changed to today. And if you had been reading the Bible 1,000 years ago, or 700 years ago, or 500 years ago, what the Bible says would not have matched the science of that day because it wasn't up to date. God understands stuff even when we don't, and his rules don't change. The Bible says this in Psalm 148, let every created thing, that's the whole universe, give praise to the Lord, for he issued his command. God set these rules in motion, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of physics. He issued his command, and they came into being, and he established them forever and ever, and his orders will never be revoked. The second law of thermodynamics doesn't work today and not work tomorrow. It always works because it was true and it was made by God. Truth doesn't change. You know, in 1861, there was a very famous book that came out called 51 Incontrovertible Proofs that the Bible is Scientifically Inaccurate. It's a very famous book. 51 incontrovertible scientific facts that we know, this is 1861, that the Bible does not agree with, and we know that the Bible is scientifically inaccurate. The only problem is today, 150 years later, you couldn't find a single scientist on the planet who would agree with any one of those incontrovertible facts. They have all been disproven by science. Truth does not change. Now, one of the proofs that we know that this book is not simply man-made, that this book came from God, that God directed men and women to talk and speak and write things down, and we know that it's the Word of God, is what's not in it. What's not in it? Because if this were a human book, you would expect it to be filled with scientific facts of the prevailing day. But they're not here. They're not in the book. For instance, for thousands and thousands of years, people believed the earth was flat. It wasn't until Copernicus and Galileo and Columbus that people realized the world's not flat. It's round. It's a sphere. It's a ball. And so you would expect the Bible to say the earth is flat because it was in existence and being written during those thousands of years when everybody thought the world was flat. Not a single verse in the Bible says the earth is flat. Not at all. In fact, it says the exact opposite. 2,600 years ago, God said this in the book of Isaiah 40, verse 22. God is enthroned above the sphere of the earth. 2,600 years ago, the Bible says the earth is round. The earth is a sphere. The earth is a globe. Long before anybody knew it. Everybody, when that was written, nobody believed it. But God said it, and it was true, whether anybody believed it or not.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We hope you've enjoyed today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. Here's Rick to tell you more.
To fulfill the purpose that God created you for, and to become the person that God wants you to be, you must fill your life with His Word. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, "Through the Word we are put together and shaped for the tasks that God has for us." You see, God's Word is unlike any other word. It's alive. In John 6:63, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." When God's Word comes into your life, you come alive. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. The Bible tells us that God's Word generates life, creates faith, it produces change, it frightens the devil, it causes miracles. The Bible tells us that God's Word heals our hurts and builds our character and transforms our circumstances. The Bible tells us that God's Word imparts joy, it overcomes adversity, it defeats temptation, it infuses hope, it releases power, it cleanses our minds. The Bible says God's Word brings things into being and guarantees our future forever. Now, to help you study the Word of God, and to deepen your understanding of this life-changing Word, I've created a resource. It's called 40 Days in the Word, and it's a study kit that you can do by yourself, or even better, do it with a couple friends in a small group. It includes a DVD study of 6 sessions and a workbook and other instructions on how to memorize Scripture, how to meditate on God's Word, and how to get God's Word into your heart and life at a level you have never had it before. This month, when you give a gift to help support the Ministry of Daily Hope, I want to send you the 40 Days in the Word study kit. It'll help you study the Bible, but as I said, it can also be used as a small group study where you'll learn methods of personal Bible study. This is all for your gift to Daily Hope. I've told you before, we're a 100% listener-supported ministry, and your financial gift goes directly toward telling people around the world about the hope of the good news. I do this for free. I don't get any remuneration for doing this. I do this because I care about God's Word and I care about you. The Bible says we can't live without the Word of God. We are to never take it for granted. We are to consider it an essential part of our lives, as essential as eating on a daily basis. Job 23:12 says, "I've treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread." Do you do that? This study kit, 40 Days in the Word, can teach you how to treasure God's Word even more than food.
We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word 6-session video and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.